It is the 23rd of March, Monday. And I'm going to go with a tech kick to start off the night. Basically, I just read a lot of these articles that Alex did not cover today. And although the financial news is big and we're going to get into that, we reported last week on those trillions that they were going to be taking, including what he was talking about in this new economic stimulus plan. We reported on the $850 to $1.4 trillion that they said they were going to print up. And then later in the article, it set up they were going to print up another $1 plus trillion. And now it's mainstream news. Now it's starting to hit everywhere that it's trillions and trillions of dollars. I was going by the office. The coffee place in the office has a TV, and I was going by there, and Wolf Blitzer's like, wow, it's more than we've spent on the entire war on terrorism, the war in Iraq, and the war in Afghanistan combined. No kidding. Really? Really, is it? So what does that mean for America? Well, the top Republican, I think his name is Griggs, or Senator Gregg. There we go. Here's one of the articles, but there's a few of them out there. This one, he just says the budget will bankrupt the U.S. Well, the U.S. is already bankrupt. But in another one, he says it's going to bring us into banana republic status. Spot on, my friend. Spot on. We are going to become banana republic, and then they'll bring in the World Bank, and it'll save us. Things will start to get better. But again, I want to get to financial news later. And we're going to be taking your calls throughout the show, so line up the lines. It's 866-582-9933. But check this out. It's like, what do I do? Do I go with vaccinations first, or do I go strictly tech? They kind of go into each other. All right, let's go to this one first. Let's just reiterate how terrible some of these vaccinations are, okay? Vaccination drives halted after a girl dies. At least 27 more students fell sick after health authorities conducted a routine rubella vaccination program at St. Thomas Curls College in the southern district of Madura. So in other words, they go to Sri Lanka and these other second and third world nations, and they offer the free vaccinations, and they kill people, okay? This girl was 12 years old, and 27 other students were hospitalized after they gave them the vaccination. You think there could be something bad in there? Killed a girl, 27 other hospitalized. This is a 12-year-old. This isn't a little girl, by the way. This is, you know, almost a puberty. You know, it's not like a 5- or 6-year-old couldn't handle it. No, they killed one. They sent almost 30 to the hospital. That should tell you how delicious and nutritious most of these vaccinations are up until this day. Now, I want to point out that sometimes these guys get caught after a long, 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 long time. And this guy apparently just won this big lawsuit. Let's see if I have that one over here. Yeah, $22.5 million. And he didn't just get this right away, folks. This guy has lived quite uncomfortably for some time. This is out of New York, UPI. A father whose daughter's oral vaccination, and I want to talk about these oral vaccinations in length in the next segment because there's a new one out there, and it looks pretty scary. But this oral vaccination resulted in the father contracting polio 30 years ago. The guy got it 30 years ago, lost both of his legs, and just now, 30 years later, they owned up to it. Here's how it goes down. The daughter didn't get sick from the vaccination, but the vaccination, which was an oral vaccination, actually contained live polio virus. Gee, where have we heard that before? Contained live polio virus. So they decided that since that did contain the live polio virus, that literally a vaccination called Oreoimmune, that they were liable, and that they had to pay $22.5 million out after 30 years. I don't think $22.5 million is going to get his legs back, though, folks. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
I'm a one-man revolution. The time is nigh. The day is dark. There's only one solution.
Folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. So as one man, after a 30-year struggle, wins $22.5 million from the misuse of an oral vaccination, get ready for the new breed of oral vaccinations. And don't worry, they make it sound fun. It's like it's like Saturday morning cartoons or, you know, ice cream after dinner. Goodbye, needle. Hello, smoothie. New generation of oral vaccines uses dairy probiotics to protect against disease. Instead of the dreaded injection with a needle, someday getting vaccinated against disease may be as pleasant. See, it's always about pleasantries. As drinking a yogurt smoothie. All right, yeah. A researcher from Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine has developed a new oral vaccination using probiotics, the healthy bacteria that are found in dairy products like yogurt and cheese. He has successfully used the approach to preclinically study to create immunity to anthrax exposure. Oh, see, take your oral anthrax medicine. He also is using the method to develop a breast cancer vaccine and vaccines for various other infectious diseases. Now, I'm sure this guy is well-meaning, and I'm sure that he really believes that he's helping here. But when you find out what they put in these vaccinations, think about it, folks. I mean, you're down on your luck. Your home just got taken away. You know, FEMA just declared a little bit of martial law because the neighborhood isn't that great. So you end up in the local FEMA center. Now you're just trying to feed and clothe your family. So when they give you the rations that you're more than welcome to scrounge up and take and just guzzle down, who knows what's going to be in there? Now they're going to tell you, oh, it's you don't even have to get a needle. They won't even tell you half the time they give you this stuff. And then you find out, you know, they're putting... In 1979, this guy had got polio from an oral polio vaccine. Do you understand? Do you get it? So now they're just making it that much easier, that much more accessible to you and I. Oh, just take this pill and everything will be okay. And yeah, I wish that we had something that would stop breast cancer. You know, that'd be great. You know, cancer in general. Real cancer vaccines rather than vaccinations with cancer viruses in them. It would be a novel approach. In fact, in the SV4 or in the non-oral polio vaccination, they got caught putting SV40 in it. Simian virus 40. It is a cancer virus. SV40 equals cancer virus. A cancer. I got one of these, you know, Obama Organizing for American Pledge things, but I want to keep on the tech news because there's just some really, really, really crazy tech news out there. Synthetic blood from embryos bid. UK scientists plan a major research project to see if synthetic human blood can be made from embryonic stem cells. And of course, we reported on 2 weeks ago that they're now coming out and saying, you know, we don't even need embryos for stem cell research. We can create stem cells from living tissue. We can turn back the clock on the living tissue and create stem cells. So now from those stem cells, they're going to see if they can make synthetic blood. Led by Scottish National Blood Transfusion Service, the 3-year trial could provide an unlimited supply of blood for emergency transfusion. See, it all sounds good on the surface. Oh, I'm not going to die. Oh, they're going to have blood for me. But then there's going to be these other problems, these other attachments, these mutations, if you will. And then God knows what else they're going to put in the blood. You know, let's not forget that they spread HIV not only through the factor 8 that Bayer produced, which was supposed to be this, you know, medicine for hemophiliacs, but they also tainted the blood supply and gave a bunch of hemophiliacs AIDS tainted blood. I mean, it's that simple. It's straight up. We've played the clips here. I'm not even going to bother you with the clips today. And then on a whole nother front, just the whole that, you know, that was the vaccination. Oh, you know, we need your help kind of front. No. Let's go to the war front because I found this, and let's bring the pictures up on prisonplanet.tv because I want people to see what these things look like. Robots about to take center stage in the U.S. war in Afghanistan. This is out of Fox News. The U.S. military is calling out the big dogs in addition to its big guns as it deploys more troops to fight terrorists in Afghanistan. Now, if you're not checking out the prisonplanet.tv right now, you know what? Jaron, right-click on that picture and just say show image because I want that image to be the full screen or as big as it gets. So, or control-click or right-click, show image. I want you to see what these big dogs look. They literally look like an attack animal without a head. Like, I can't even believe that they're planning on using these things. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Can we just make that the screen so we can focus in on that thing? Can we full screen that? Oh, it just opens up in that little bitsy doodle? All right, that's fine. Anyway, The big dogs. Four-legged robots that can navigate the country's treacherous terrain. Of course they can. They're mechanical. Dude, these things are going to be fitted with all sorts of weapons. They're going to... Oh, my God. I mean, they talk about this with the pilotless helicopters that can transport tons of supplies to very remote bases. They're just two of the new weapons being tested for Afghanistan. But they also, these pilotless helicopters, which essentially are unmanned aerial vehicles, or something we talk about here a lot, UAVs. We talk about, you know, Global Hawks and drones and, you know, satellites, you know, reality, technology we know about. Yeah, there we go. Those are the pilotless helicopters right there. And, I mean, those pilotless helicopters could be used to carry big dogs. Drop some big dogs on the poor Afghani people. And these things, can you imagine being ravaged or shot at by a four-legged robot? Well, you don't have to imagine it. Just go over to Afghanistan, put on a little robe and get a tan, and you'll know all about it. Because that's what these things are there for. They're not being deployed to help the Afghani people or to go after quote-unquote insurgents. Those things are regulators. Welcome to the new world, folks. We're here. We are here. They've got robots going after Afghanis. Wait till they come to this country. And don't think that won't be proposed. Don't think as soon as some of the military leaders or some of the police force doesn't go along with it, they don't say, you know what, we'll just bring in the drones. And the drones can fight them. Also very interesting in the tech news department, and I want to get all you guys' takes on this. The call-in line is, of course, 866-582-9933. So we're going to go to your calls starting in the next segment. I want to really rush through some more of this news because there's just so much of it in my face right now. Finn creates USB finger drive. So this Finnish computer programmer, you know, I keep telling people how individuals are making themselves cyborgs, and we're really in the age now where you can chip yourself. You can go on eBay right now and grab yourself a little RFID chip for $10 plus shipping and chip yourself. Check it out yourself. Implantable microchip. You know, there's no doubt about it. But this guy, you know, is taking it a step further. Instead of chipping himself with an RFID, he lost his finger in one of his fingers in a motorcycle accident. So what he did is he built a prosthesis around his finger, which is also a USB drive. So, you know, most of us are content to carry our little USB drives around on our keychain. No, this guy's got it on his finger. Jerry Jalava uses the 2 gigabyte memory stick, and don't worry, that'll be upgraded shortly, by peeling back the nail to store photos, movies, and programs. The finger is not permanently attached to his hand, so it can be easily left plugged into the computer when in use. You can kind of see how it slides on. And really, you know, I mean, anybody could do this right now, but because the guy's missing a finger, they're making a bigger deal about it. Look, there's a book out there now, probably 4 years old, called RFID Toys, where a gentleman from New York and his girlfriend basically put multiple chips into their body for different purposes and wrote about how great it was. We're here. When people are creating USB finger drives, get ready. When we have robots in Afghanistan, get ready. And you know what? We were just talking about UAVs and all that stuff. This should be interesting for all those people that were listening into the Jim Mars interview on Friday, which was great, by the way. I want to thank Jim. I just did get a copy of The Fourth Reich, and I'm starting to read it. So I recommend that book. I recommend a lot by Jim Mars. I mean, I take everything with a grain of salt, and I don't think he gets everything 100% correct, but he does a damn good job. So why am I talking UAVs? Well, today, for all you UFO buffs out there, the UK government just declassified a bunch of files from the 80s and 90s. Okay, UFO buffs? Now, I'm not saying it's bad to be a UFO buff, but from what the mainstream is reporting is that UK really thought a lot of these UFOs in the 80s and 90s were, in fact, U.S. special programs. In other words, UAVs, they were working on different aircraft, true UFOs, but not in the sense that they were extraterrestrial or came from extraterrestrial origin. Now, you may disagree with that, or you may think they're still covering stuff up. Well, I tried to get over on the site to see how much had been declassified, and I just couldn't even log on. Couldn't log on at all. I got in there, and it looks like it's getting hit pretty big. But let me read you that's the Fox News report right there. Let me read you the Times Online. Intelligence officers scoured hundreds of UFO sightings reports in the 80s and 90s looking for top-secret American stealth plane projects newly released files have shown. At the end of the Cold War, the Ministry of Defense was worried that America was developing mysterious planes but not telling its closest ally. Let's see. Staff at Department D-155 of the, or DI-55, I'm not sure, of the Defense Intelligence Staff logged and investigated hundreds of sightings by pilots, air traffic controllers, and private individuals who believed they had all seen alien presences. The MOD did not believe Britain was being visited by aliens, but these files show that they were obsessed with the fear that our closest ally was developing spy planes and keeping them secret from us, said David Clark, a lecturer at Sheffield Hall University and UFO specialist at the National Archives. In one incident logged in 1989, an oil rig worker trained the aircraft observation and saw a perfect black triangle escorted by two American fighter planes. We're going to come back with your calls after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. I'm going to finish up this article, and we're going to go to your callers. We're going to go into Dan, Mark, Dennis, and more. It's 866-582-9933. And I just want to make the point that, you know, they're declassifying all these documents. Bluebeam is out there, you know, where they talk about staging an alien invasion or putting in, you know, religious holograms in the sky to fool the masses into world government or, you know, to lead us in that direction. So it doesn't surprise me that a lot of these reports are talking about, you know, triangle-shaped aircraft led by, you know, U.S. military fighter pilots. You know, that's what it looks like. Air Force, you know, denying it, blah, blah, blah. It's an interesting story. I thought I'd bring it up, you know, in light of the fact that Afghanistan is now going to use UAVs to drop supplies and big dogs, these dog-like robots that are really sent to kill, let's be honest. I mean, they're not just surveillance robots. They're killer robots. Oh man, it's crazy! All right, let's go to the first caller. Let's go to Dan in Florida. Dan, what's on your mind?
Yeah, what's up, Jason? I just want to say I think you're doing you know, like a better job with the show pretty much every other week, man. You're doing pretty good.
Oh, thank you, man.
Not a problem. Just a quick thing, real quick. Last, I think it was Friday. When did you have Jim on? I think it was Friday.
Yeah, Friday we had Jim on.
Okay, yeah, well, I asked a question about, you know, basically what's going to happen after they, you know, if they were to install their New World Order and stuff like that, what would happen after that?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really think I got too much of a direct answer because, I mean, Jim, he just kind of seemed to backtrack and say, well, hey, you know, I mean, they don't really want a one-world government in the first place, you know, when I think, so I guess he's in disagreement with Alex Jones.
Yeah, well, I guess he takes the position that they're going to play off three major regions off against each other for their New World Order. It will be achieved by then. I don't know if that's necessarily correct. I think that's a stage in it. He fell back to 1984 and what Orwell said.
Right.
Yeah, the three separate nations. If you want my answer on what I think is the whole goal, and, you know, I don't know if I have that article in front of me, but, you know, we have the British Prime Minister talking about, not the British Prime Minister, I'm sorry, Gordon Brown's underling saying that he needs to cut, if they want a sustainable future in the UK, the population to 30 million people. Well, the population right now is 60 million plus. That's in 2007.
Right.
So he's off the charts, talking about half of the population reduction. Okay. Now, I feel like before they're really able to reduce the population, they'd have to, or before they were able to bring in like this huge global government, they might be able to get away with their unions. In other words, their North American Union, their Eurasian Union. even an Asian union. You know, Jim seems to think that they're going to consolidate the power down to three. I don't see that. I see a consolidation of things like North America,
okay.
Pan-America.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing real quick, man. You know, I mean, obviously we all have different theories about what's going to happen with the, you know, this new world order, whatever you want to call it, things like that, centralization of power, different regional blocks, super states, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'm just wondering, whatever the theory is as to what the installment of the next governmental cycle will be,
mm-hmm.
what is the point of that, and what do these elites wish to accomplish after that? And I also have a second question for you. I'll take my answers out there.
All right. Well, let's just say they get the North American, all these unions, right? It'll be easier for them to do mass roundups. It'll be easier for them to do their population reduction that they want. Now, let's say they get their population reduction, right? They get, and I think that's a big achievement for their one world government. So if we're talking about a new world order, they've already reduced the population down to 500 million through famines, disease, vaccinations, whatever. God knows. Who knows? Maybe they dirty bomb the United States and round us up. I got no idea. You know, they've got all these different plans and policy papers on how to do it. They get down to 500,000 people. That's when they're going to start announcing the technology. But the gap will be so big between, you know, the you and me class, the middle class, the sub-middle class, and whatever they are, that it doesn't even get to us. We literally become a serf class where we work with their robots, and they do whatever. They live forever. They plan on, you know, going around the universe, God knows why, you know, and really just unlocking the secrets of the world, I guess. I mean, they plan on having us all interconnected through a hive mind, the servant class. Okay, so it'll seem like we have some kind of freedom, but at the same time, they'll control whatever this worldwide mind or, you know, this chipped populace is able to use as like an internet, I guess you could say. I'll take the second question after this holdover. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. These guys' goal is right there. You know, my reflection I don't recognize. I've got my mount seared in my eyes. Watch what you think. They can read your mind. Literally, they want us hooked into this hive mind, making ourselves into less of human beings, cyborgs, you know, whether it be, you know, putting USB chips in our fingers or, you know, these mounts on your eyes, which you can get right now. They're like little projection screens. But they want us hooked into this system that is only dependent on their credit system while they rule over us in a subsystem where, you know, they have the true power, the true knowledge, they can still regulate the slave class, and they can travel the cosmos. I mean, they really believe that they're going to be able to unlock the secret to godhood. And as Kurzweil writes, although I don't really think that Kurzweil is in with the elites, I mean, his future really does kind of coincide with what they talk about. He talks about how human beings will one day be able to take their, whether you call it your soul or your brain or whatever, and turn yourself into a concentrated form of light traveling the cosmos in basically any kind of shape, form that you wish. So I would think that that's a pretty good idea of what these guys want. What's your second part of the question, or did I answer your first part, Dan?
Well, you didn't. Well, I mean, in part you did. You're going up to the point where they do install the new world order, the new government, and things like that. But one thing you did mention was that you were talking about how they travel the cosmos looking for God knows what. That's what you just said before the break. And I think that pretty much sums it up. We don't know what they're looking for, I don't think, if they are going to go out there and look for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's it. But just real quick, a quick second question here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, real quick, as far as Ray Kurzweil goes, I had seen some of his stuff on the internet as well. I'm not like a, you know, like an avid follower of him or anything like that. But another thing was that he was talking about how you can actually put nanotechnology into your brain.
Mm-hmm.
These little nano robots, these tiny little microscopic robots, would actually circulate through your brain, scan the neurons, and then you can take them back out and, you know, upload that information to your new brain.
Yeah.
So that would
nanotech, but for those that don't know, are these tiny little robots that are almost like bacteria, or I mean, they're that small and they're very hard. They self-replicate as well, so they act like a living organism, even though they're totally man-made and unnatural.
Yeah, so there's definitely a little bit of you know, tech news right there, and that's pretty much in his own words. So that's you know, how they're supposedly, at least one way, how they're going to live forever. You know? But the second question, real quick, I'm wondering if you heard anything about, because I heard some rumors like on the internet and stuff like that, of how the elite would actually put explosives up on the poles, more specifically, like I guess like the Antarctica regions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. To blow off some of those massive pieces of the ice shelves and stuff like that to make it look like and to sell the idea of global warming.
Sure.
And also, to capitalize on that question even more so, I heard a representative of a scientific organization the other day. Mm-hmm. It was, I'm going to say, about 2-3 months ago, actually. And he was basically talking about how the Earth has basically got a delicate balance. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how Einstein was once talking about how if you threw off that balance doing something to the pole or something like that, you could actually artificially create a pole shift, which would obviously do a lot of damage. Now, since, you know, Alex Jones gets into those false flag operations and stuff like that, do you think these elites, since, you know, I think both you and Jim were pretty much in agreement when you were talking on Friday. You both said that they, you know, the elite are looking to control the population and reduce it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they would actually do something like that to massively reduce the population? Do you think they would go that far? And besides theories, do you see any evidence to support something like that going on?
Well, as far as would they, I mean, I think they would do it as long as they could keep their own populace. In other words, if it wouldn't affect them, it was outside of, you know, chemical or biological, where would it actually affect them and their family? Sure, I don't see why they wouldn't. When you talk about the polar caps and whether they would, you know, be able to blow them off or whatever, you know, I think that HARP is very interesting. And for those that don't know what HARP is, that's their, I guess it's their weather control weaponry. There's a, I think Holes in Heaven is what the documentary it is. I know Martin Sheen does one of the documentaries, but they basically talk about how they have these HARP systems. I think they're up by the poles, actually. I'm pretty sure that they have HARP up there. And a lot of people have speculated, you know, that's what they plan on doing, using, you know, directed energy weapons, which are very sketchy. I think that the only evidence that you would have on that type of weaponry is purely policy paper and purely what you can learn openly about HARP when that program is extremely classified at this point. So,
yes, it is. Just one more quick thing before you let me go here, Jason.
Sure.
I just wanted to let you know there is actually a pretty large crew of scientists and other people actually going to the North Pole. It's actually scheduled for August of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if you heard about that.
No, but you know, another thing for your pole shift, before we get into that, is that, you know, a lot of scientists are saying on 2012 there will be a pole shift. What that means doesn't necessarily, they don't know what it exactly means, but they think it's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's right. That there's a scientist, the one that's actually leading this operation, he says there's going to be a pole shift as well.
Okay.
And he's going to try to go to the North Pole to try and get some data. Mm-hmm. To see what's going on up there, because there's a lot of people that say some strange things about the North Pole.
Yeah. Well, have you seen 2012 yet? Have you seen the new one that I was talking about?
No, I'm going to go see it. I actually didn't even know that film was out yet, to be perfectly honest.
It really goes over the pole shifts. Like, basically, not only does it lay out the two pole shifts, but it lays out what the electromagnetic field looks like in and around Earth. And, you know, me and Jim were actually kind of talking about electromagnetics and fields off the air before the show. And it was very interesting. It gave a kind of a different type of hypothesis how these two separate solar systems were swinging in an ovular fashion. And that's why we weren't aware that the one existed. It's pretty bizarre, but at the same time, it's definitely worth looking at.
Well, here's the thing, though. Just one quick final point. This person mm-hmm. that's actually scheduled to go there in August... Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, if we have some sort of martial law or something like that, he's not going to get to go. Now, I don't think martial law is going to be designed to not let these people go. I think that'd be way far out there, right?
Yeah.
But it's just going to be a little bit of a coincidence because, like I said, there are a lot of strange things that people say about this North Pole area, mm-hmm. as well as the Antarctic. Some people say some strange stuff about that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people that actually don't go there. I mean, people just talk about it, but they've never been there. And just real quick... Now, this guy has actually, I believe, tried to go there in the past, but his operation has been firewalled, and he's just a scientist, dude. He's just trying to go and get some data. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to investigate this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And his process in the, you know, a while back actually got firewalled. They wouldn't let him go because of national security reasons. And there was another operation that was supposed to go even before his previous one. That one got firewalled as well.
All right, so maybe there is a vested interest in keeping scientists away from that pole region. I suggest people go check out 2012, check out the information. Like I said, I enjoyed 2012 as much as I don't really think a huge event is going to happen on 2012. I think it's more of a...
Well, it's questionable, I think.
Yeah, yeah, a numeric guess. I suggest people watch the documentary. Yeah, it's definitely excellent. I thank you for the call, Dan. All right, let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to Mark in Wisconsin. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on? Nice job with the show recently.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. You're trying to get perspectives on basically the alien craft thing?
Not the alien craft thing. I mean, we could talk about the new, they're not really, I wouldn't say alien, but all those UFO files are now being declassified from the British government. They're saying they think it's, that they think it's U.S. special projects. That's what the mainstream media is leaning towards. Then we've got these robots in Afghanistan, from the big dogs, which literally look like, four-ped animals with no heads that look creepily like something you'd see out of Star Wars 2 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. We were talking about
that. Weird looking.
Yeah, they are weird looking. We're talking about vaccinations. I mean, they're now talking about oral vaccines. And the problem with these oral vaccines is that they'll put them in anything. You won't even know that you're taking them. And as readily as they can make an oral vaccine, they can also make an oral virus, since these things are based on viruses anyway. You know, that's one of the things we talked about. And then we talked about some of the lawsuits. People have, you know, some guy just won $22.5 million in a case 30 years ago where he contracted polio through their vaccinations, you know?
Right, so, no legs.
Yeah, and but anything topic of the day.
Of course.
Yeah, 30 million. You know, it's everybody who likes to sit there and go, oh, well, the guy's a millionaire. Listen, if I had to give up use of my legs for 30 years, I'm pretty sure that I would go with poor guy Jason rather than rich guy no legs Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I actually kind of use an odd analogy like that about, you know, how our system is becoming like, you know, every day it seems like, you know, we're getting one, you know, step further away from having, you know, any civil liberties whatsoever. And it's kind of like, you know, these people are just brainwashed, you know, into this mentality. It's like, you know, you got to, you know, the whole excuse of you have to give up some freedoms for safety. It's like, well, think about what you're saying. That's like, well, I'm going to cut off your hands, but you're still going to be able to walk. It's like, dude, why can't I write too? Like, are you kidding?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. As far as, the files being released and things like that, that's something that obviously they only release, you know, files of that nature and things of that nature to, you know, real small degrees. They want, you know, of course, to keep real high secrecy on things like that. I actually find, the idea of what Bill Cooper said, which is a pretty widely believed and logical thing, I think, about the whole War of the Worlds scenario being a project to see how the people would, you know, react to that kind of a threat. That and the whole 2012 thing has been brought up, and I just thought, like, we're alive right now in a real interesting time in history. There's a lot of nonsense going on from every direction, and it just, you know, like, some weird, like, either a terrorist attack or some sort of odd, you know, freak natural coincidence, you know, happens. It's like every time you turn around nowadays, there's some crazy big, you know, weird event that happens, and it's just left and right. So
to your War of the Worlds comment, I mean, when they remade that film, and I actually liked the remake, I thought War of the Worlds, Steven Spielberg did it, was actually an awesome movie. But then you look at it, and it looks like it takes place in New York City. They don't come out and say it's New York City, but it looks exactly like New York City. Then you have the fact that, you know, Spielberg himself, you know, meets with the Bilderberg Group on occasion. He talked about how it was a lot of the scenery was there to reinvoke memories of 9/11.
Yep.
And then you see when the aliens come down and attack the people, you know, they don't turn into bloody carcasses. They don't just evaporate. They evaporate into a white dust that coats the other people that looks exactly like what happened on 9/11.
Yep,
so,
yep.
It definitely looks like predictive programming. It looks like they tried to pull some kind of a propaganda stunt there. Lord knows. I thank you for the call, Mark. Let's jump to Dennis in Florida. Dennis, what's on your mind? Yes,
hey,
Dennis.
Jason. You doing all right tonight?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Good. Well, I hate to talk about this because there's so many important things to talk about, but I called the other night in reference to this Free Talk Live show on GCN.
Sure.
Are you aware of that show? You know that?
I don't know what it is because I don't listen, but I
never
listened
once.
About. I may have caught it on 90.1 because I know that Austin, you know, has one of those networks. But right now, I don't even have FM radio. I only got Sirius in my car. So I've heard of the show, but I've never really listened to it.
They're trying to do good things up there in New Hampshire. They're really, I mean, they're doing good things, but this stupid rub I have with them, and like I said, there's more important things to talk about, but I'm stuck on this. I got to see it through. I called them and said, yeah, Jason would love to either have you on his show or you on their show. And then they just went into this tirade of, you know, conspiracy. We're not going to talk about conspiracy theories with them. It's all bull or whatever. And I was like, well, you don't necessarily have to talk about that. You can talk about important issues, deep, dark facts that you may call conspiracy theories, but I think they're pertinent to moving forward. I mean, they're all for liberty and all that, but It's delusional if you move forward without understanding a real groundwork of truth. Do you agree? Or?
Well, those who don't know their past are doomed to repeat it. That's the bottom line, unless you understand it. Yeah, and unless you realize that they use false flag terror and domestic false flag terror in this country to pull off their agendas, they'll do it again and again and again, and that's why it's important to expose. Yeah, it's very basic.
Now, are you willing to call their show? Because that's how we put it. Now, I want to paraphrase a little bit because I talked about they did invite Alex Jones on the show, and when I mentioned Jason Burmes, they said no, we want a real filmmaker on our show.
Yeah, I know. I just can't. I guess the three movies that I've put out there just aren't good enough. Well, you know, I don't have as big of a name as Alex. And quite frankly, you know, I think that they'd rather get Alex in one of those screaming matches back and forth to try to prove their point rather than to have me on there and be basically break down every single word they say. Give them, not that Alex doesn't do a great job, but Alex will get one of those modes where he's just on the attack and they won't even look into anything he said. And I'll take time to not only say it, but say, okay, look it up. You know,
he would chew them up and spit them out, and you would finesse it in there. But that's why I thought it would make for great radio. But apparently, they would, you know, they want you to grovel and call their show and ask them for time. So it just went nowhere.
Well, you know what?
Radio,
you send me their info, and maybe is it an afternoon show?
The show's right before your show. They're right before you. You're right. You follow them on GCN, and I would love for you to call them and just say, hey, it's Jason Burmes. You know, I heard you don't think I'm a filmmaker, and give them the credentials. And you probably get more. I don't know if you probably have more listeners. I don't know what listeners, you know, you have now, but your
Free
show
Talk
is
Live
take,
probably has a few more.
Part.
Yeah, well, thank
they've
you.
Been around a while. And they're doing a great thing there, no doubt about it. I mean, they are doing a great thing. But the way they poo-poo, you know, I hate to say conspiracy because that's a bunch of crock. It's deep, dark truths about the wrong of the system, and that's all there is to it. There's many of them. There's dozens and dozens and dozens. We could, you know, have all, you know, shows all day showing each one. But where does it lead? I mean, you got to understand the truth of it before you can move forward with solutions.
Maybe I can get some of my buddies over in New Hampshire. I got a couple college friends that are over there, student scholars for 9/11 Truth out of Keene. Maybe I can get them to call in. I thank you for the call, man. All right. Let's jump.
Thanks.
You got it, man. Let's go to Chris in Tennessee. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, bro.
How you doing, sir?
Doing a good job, man.
Thank you.
It's great to hear, you know, instead of the refeed, you know, late at night to hear, you know, like your take on things. What I was calling about, man, did you happen to, I know you've seen the video of the FedEx plane that crashed in Japan today.
I have not seen the video of it, only heard that the FedEx, I got my news from, again, I listened to Stern. I got my news from Stern today. From what I know about the FedEx plane, it was two pilots on board. And they crashed, like, they crashed on the runway, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I work at a CBS affiliate here in Tennessee, and, you know, I'm like the company nutcase or whatever, you know, because of the, you know, the way I believe. But it was just, I was sitting there telling people, I was like, you know, look at the fireball from that, how quickly it dissipated. And do you think that fire, that jet fuel, brought down the towers of 9/11?
Exactly. Dude, it's so unreal that people can cling on to this belief that a plane can hit a building in two separate spots and then a collapse on top of itself at literally the speed of gravity, almost free fall speed. It's admitted in every single report could happen in on itself, not to the side. The entire building is destructed all the way down into the floors. First of all, a lot of people still don't get that thing had 10 sub-basement levels that were a city inside a city below a city, you know?
Yeah.
And for those to be destroyed is absolutely ludicrous. If you had had what they said, the building would have tipped over, okay? That's what would have happened. It wouldn't have crumbled in on itself. And for people to think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center. When it tops, it burns at 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. The Underwriters Laboratories test showed that that was impossible to bring down the building. I mean, there are just so many contradictions in 9/11. It is crazy. We'll come back to Chris after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. The Genesis Communications Network. I just want to remind people that you can pick up the show by emailing affiliates@gcnlive.com or giving them a call over at the station. Please pick up the show. Please make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're talking to Chris in Tennessee about jet fuel taking down buildings. Chris, did you show your workers that Beijing Tower? I mean, 57 stories on fire from top to bottom. The thing looked like a rocket of fire shooting flames, you know, hundreds of feet into the air. The thing wasn't even built like the World Trade Center. It was straight up. It was had this weird design. And that thing didn't fall, did it?
No, man. I mean, the thing is, dude, is like, you know, there's some people that's woke up, you know, to what I say and stuff. But it's the mentality of that. Everything is so hashed from the network that's the mentality of the way they believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like today I'm standing in a newsroom where we're all watching that. I'm like, do you actually believe that, you know, that brought down steel buildings, you know, reinforced steel, you know? And it's just like, you know, they just look at me like, oh, you're a kook or whatever. But, I mean, that don't bother me, but it's just that mentality, man.
No, it's crazy. It's annoying,
believe
man.
Everything, yeah, they believe that, you know, everything, like, think about Operation Mockingbird. You know, mm-hmm. everything that's, you know, instilled, brought down, that's the line, man. That's what you feed back out.
And, all about COINTELPRO, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you think, like, it's been said that, you know, the audience, the mentality of the audience that listens, you know, to, like, mainstream news and stuff, it's like, it's a 24-hour cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sitting there every day listening to this stuff, you know, and, you know, I woke up, man, I know the truth, but it's like, people don't understand that you tell them one thing one day, well, you can go back the next day and tell them something totally different.
And they'll jump right on board.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
As long as it's like a mainline Brian Williams telling you about it, or a mainline Wolf Blitzer, or even Olbermann, as long as they're telling you, a lot of people will buy into it, and they have their favorites. I guess I'm kind of guilty, too, because I like Dobbs, because he actually tells the truth. But they have their favorites, and it's like the people who are the O'Reilly heads and the people that are the Hannity heads. They can't be reached. They just want to hear what their talking head has to say for the day. I thank you for the call, man. All right, let's jump to James in Pennsylvania. James, what's on your mind? Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You've been talking about some interesting topics, and I just got a few comments to put in.
Mm-hmm.
One on the poll shift.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some rumors floating around the internet, and I haven't done any research into it, so I can't really comment, but that the new Large Hadron Collider at CERN, you know what that is?
Yes, the big project where they're going to take these particle beams and slam them into each other to see if they can create life, and others have said, you know, that maybe they won't create life, maybe they'll create a microscopic black hole, yeah, that will actually suck the world in decades later. It's very interesting.
Well, yeah, I've heard some rumors floating around that it has something to do with a pole shift possible in 2012. Like I said, didn't look it up. don't really know.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that, but I can tell you the Large Hadron Collider is making it mainstream, and that one of these History Channel shows that I recently saw about like the creation of the universe really featured it in the background and showing how they were trying to create life out of these crazy intense, you know, rays that they have to heat up for months at a time. We'll come back to your call after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis,
866-582-9933. Stripping it wasn't if I could have made a life different.
I made a mistake.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. All right, we are back. It's the Info Warrior. James, you got any other points other than that Large Hadron Collider?
Yeah, I do. You're talking about the UFO revealing in Great Britain right now. Well, out in a coast-to-coast type crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of the rumors might be that they're trying to reveal aliens to us.
I don't think that's part of it. You know what? But I think the documents themselves, I think, are trying to lean more towards the military prototype stuff.
Right.
And I think that you're probably going to see some new aircraft be revealed by the U.S. in the next couple of years.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I've heard Alex talk about a plan that they might have, or at least one of the plans that they might ever use, that they could unite Earth with by saying there's an alien attack.
Blue Beam. We covered that when we talked about it. It's called Project Blue Beam. And what they said is that they can use hologram technology to not only project religious figures in the skies over third world nations, people that would want to see, you know, the Mother Mary or a large Buddha over in India, but they also said that they could project a fleet of UFOs. And there's even been talks, other plans of genetically creating actual beings. Genetically creating actual beings to trick people into thinking that they're from, you know, they're of extraterrestrial origin. But yeah, read Project Bluebeam. It's crazy. I think that's actually a plan from the 70s that they talked about. And Bluebeam is the plan you're talking about. In fact, if you want a great little synopsis of that plan, none does it better than Paul Joseph Watson in his book, Order Out of Chaos. And we carry that over at InfoWars, but you can get a PDF file or you can get a chapter by chapter for free on the internet. So go check it out and read that chapter. It's just mind-blowing.
Wow, yeah, I have to do that. Well, I thought it might be just a kind of predictive program or something. Maybe.
Well, you look at that. You know, I'm one of those guys that checks out everything. I mean, I watched the Disclosure Project have their little meeting. I think it was like 2 years ago. You know which one I'm talking about, right?
That. Yeah,
I've watched. I've watched UFOs, The Greatest Story Ever Denied. I really like David Serrata, the guy who does the NASA UFO footage. I think that that's very some interesting stuff. I recently watched the Dan Aykroyd special on that. I mean, I watch all of it, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, all I can say is that there's some kind of an aerial phenomenon going on that I don't know about. And it seems to be, you know, interstellar. It's out in space. But it also, you know, obviously is taking place here on Earth. And now, does that mean that little green men are running it? Does that mean reptoids from the fourth dimension are running it? Does that mean that it's human beings from the future? I got no idea. You know what I'm saying? Until one crashes in front of me and I actually get to look for myself, it's going to be hard for me to formulate an answer. But I always tell people to keep an open mind and check out all the documentation out there and, you know, not to really take the mainstream viewpoint at face value. So I thank you for your call, James. We're going to jump to our next caller. Call line is 866-582-9933. Let's go to Ian in North Carolina. Ian, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
Good, man.
Appreciate all the work you guys do. I was going to mention the Disclosure Project, and I've dug around in their materials. And actually, that conference that they had didn't have their biggest hitting people that they've had come forward, you know, and the more powerful stories, you know, like of a guy in, I believe it was Wyoming or some, a nuclear site where they had 8 or 12 silos that were taken offline by a large orb that came down.
Wasn't that in the UK? Well, I know there's a big one in the UK where they shut down the entire military base or something like that, and they've had History Channel specials on it.
Yeah, maybe that was that forest.
And isn't there also a big one in the U.S. where the entire coast of California had its missile defense shield shut down under, like, a, you know, unidentified flying objects, apparently?
Yeah, I think there were a number of them, and I'm not familiar with that one, but the silo one always stood out to me. But
well, I'll hold you over. We'll talk about it on the other side, Ian. We're going to go to Ian, Jose, Brian, and more when we come back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Jason Burmis. Call line is 866-582-9933. We're going to go back to Ian and other phone calls. We're doing a little bit of a news blitz also in this hour because there's about 20 other stories I have to get to. Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, you're talking about false flag operations, you know, the blue beam stuff. And Carol Rosen talked about working with Wernher von Braun, you know, a Nazi scientist brought over to work on the atom bomb and stuff. And he talked about that the final false flag, the final 9/11 shenanigans that they would pull would be, you know, a false ET attack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can see so much evidence of them building up to it. I saw a kid's cartoon the other day that was just a perfect build-up for it. But it's everywhere, you know, in Hollywood. And, you know, to demonize ETs and then have a false flag operation just like Independence Day and stuff. And it's so weird how they can put all that stuff in our media and we'll still fall for it, even though we've seen the movies and stuff, you know.
How about it's the latest Indiana Jones, which was just a total rape fest of the character, by the way, highlighted by South Park, and I thought that was hilarious. But it literally, the entire plot is about how interdimensional alien beings, and again, they're not from space, they're interdimensional. Interdimensional right. Alien beings that are the archetyped Greys, I mean, it looked just like the Greys would, are our masters and creators. That's what the entire plot is about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, to put that stuff out there, you see it almost everywhere. I definitely don't put this one past their playbook. In fact, I think it plays right into their hand. I thank you for the call, Ian. All right, let me do a little bit of a news blitz, and then we'll go to Jose, Brian, and others. Lest I be accused of not reporting on Israel news, I do. I report on Israel. It's real. Jason Burmis reports how Israel's not the greatest. Last week, we talked about the EU leaking an internal report where they had to admit what they're doing on the Gaza Strip is annexation. Now this UN report says, Israel targeted civilians in Gaza. Really? No kidding. See, they're always, oh, we got to watch out for Hamas, and they're bombing, and they're suicide bombing everywhere, and they're launching missile attacks. No, what's really happening is Israel is taking over the Gaza Strip. They are annexing the land. That means taking the land. And they're killing civilians, okay? You watch any of this stuff, they'll run you over, they'll shoot you down. I mean, here it is, a UN report. United Nations investigators said on Monday, Israel violated a range of human rights during its invasion of Gaza, including targeting civilians and using a child as a human shield. Well, that's pleasant, isn't it? Picking up a child as a human shield. I mean, what? Are you even a human being at that point when you pick up a kid to catch bullets for you and you're on the offensive? I am disgusted. The accusations came in reports to the UN Human Rights Council, which also called for an urgent end to Israeli restrictions on humanitarian supplies to Gaza and a full international investigation into the conflict. Yeah, why? Let's have an international investigation. It'll only take 5 years with no results. They'll admit that they're evil, but they won't, you know, go after anybody. I mean, give me a break. And I know Alex covered it, but I was the one that gave him the story earlier today. I IM'd it to him. Hillary the Movie now showing at the Supreme Court. Months after its debut, Hillary the Movie faces 9 of the nation's toughest critics, the Supreme Court. You know, I haven't watched this yet. I didn't even know it was out there. I'm going to have to watch it. The justices' review of the slashing documentary financed by longtime critics of Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton could bring more than just a thumbs up or thumbs down. It may settle the question. I didn't even know there was a question, folks. It may settle the question of whether the government can regulate a politically charged film as a campaign ad. Really? That's a question? So now if I make a movie against somebody, even though I'm not politically affiliated with anybody, they can target it as a campaign ad and even censor it? The outcome of this case will dictate how we're able to make films and educate people about them. Well, all I'm saying is don't you dare, Supreme Court, don't you dare rule that we don't have free speech, which is in essence what they're trying to do here. Why do we have John Edwards up there? There's Hillary. There, it's a Hillary / Edwards deal. Nice. Oh, man. Well, this is a trailer for the film right here. Interesting. Interesting indeed. I'm going to have to watch this, and I'll give a more in-depth view of Hillary the movie and what this Supreme Court case really means. But what it means is that they're going to try to regulate the First Amendment through movies. This is a definite regulation of what of a certain type of speech. I mean, what else is there? Louisiana shooting puzzles witnesses. Now, that's kind of a misleading term. Basically, this old man was having a... All right, let's just read it, because I can't make this stuff up, folks. The country's gone. On the last afternoon of his life, Bernard Moore was hosting a cookout. He was hosting a cookout for his family and friends in front of his dilapidated home in this small northern Louisiana town. Guy ain't got much. I mean, there's a picture of him right there. He's got a little house. You know, he's at the twilight of his years. He has throat cancer. And he's 73 years old. He's an electric utility worker, unable to talk. But family members said he was clearly enjoying the common of the dozen of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren cavorting in the grassless yard. So this is a family get-together. Two cops show up. They gun him down. Folks, they gunned an unarmed 73-year-old man who couldn't speak with throat cancer down. Okay, folks. Now it's time to call the Louisiana Police Department. Now the Louisiana State Police, the FBI, and the Justice Department are swarming over this impoverished lumber town of 3,800, drawn by allegations from numerous of witnesses that police killed Monroe without justification and then moved a gun to make it look like he had been holding it. So, of course, they tried to set him up as well. This poor old man. Don't let him get away with it. These cops need to be brought up on charges. See, they need charges of conspiracy because they conspired after they killed this man to try to frame him for, you know, holding a gun or, you know, threatening their lives. That's a real conspiracy. See, conspiracies happen. I know a lot of people don't like to admit that conspiracies are real, but they happen. And these guys conspired not only to kill the guy, but then to cover up the killing. God, you guys, man, the guys behind me. I have to look at both of my board guys. And they are just having too much fun all the time. You know what we need? You know what we need to make it even more fun in there? We need one of those portable little basketball Nerf hoops. We'll put it right there, and like we'll be shooting threes while we do it right there. Jaren's loving the idea. I'm seeing it, but I'm not loving the fact that the cops just kill whoever they want. All right, I still got a stack of news, but we got a stack of callers, so we'll go to some more callers, and then we'll do a little bit more news. All right, let's go to Jose in New Jersey. Jose, what's on your mind?
Hi, Jason.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm a pastor here in Elizabeth, New Jersey, of a small Hispanic congregation, and I'm actually reaching out to you. I respect you. I respect your films. Your information is great, and I also respect Alex Jones, and I figured that you guys are probably one of the best guys that I can reach out to see if you have any resources that maybe I can tap into for a situation that I just was exposed to here in our local community. It seems that there's a hospital in our community that mm-hmm. Is doing some shady things with the youth.
Okay.
The young people. I have two young people in my church. One is about 16 years old, another one is about 22. They both shared similar stories of mm-hmm. things that occurred to them in this hospital. The 22-year-old experienced it when he was about 14 years old, so these two don't know each other. Mm-hmm. And the 16-year-old just went through it about 2 to 3 months ago.
Okay.
The young girl, which is about 16... I guess she was having some problems at school. I don't know the 100% story. She was having some problems in school, and the teachers suggested for her to get some type of evaluation or some type of social evaluation, whether it was through a counselor or whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The point of the story is she was admitted to the hospital. She was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Okay.
Her mom was not told of the situation until she was already in the hospital and admitted. They did not give her the opportunity to voice her opinion or her concern about the situation. The mom actually told us that when she got to the hospital, there was a crew of about 5 or 6 doctors already evaluating the young girl, mm-hmm. and quickly beginning to prescribe medication for her. Well, the girl is fine. She's in our church. She's a normal girl, no schizophrenia whatsoever. And she was telling us, that the girl herself was telling us of things that were happening in the hospital and things that she saw occurring with other young kids that were there. And it was very disturbing. She was giving us scenarios of where some kids were left alone in rooms, no windows, concrete walls, given medication that would knock out the young child for a little over a day. Mm-hmm. There was one situation where she said that she heard a nurse say, "Oh, we gave him too much medication. We'll just wait until he gets up, whenever that is." The other young man was telling me that when he was there, he actually got in trouble with the law, but instead mm-hmm. of sending him to juvenile, they sent them to the hospital to get evaluated. Mm-hmm. And in the hospital, they also gave him some medications, had him involved in some therapy groups. And he said that they would manipulate the answers that the questions that they asked him in such a way that depending on what they said, they would either send them to this room alone or prescribe, inject them with some type of medication. Mm-hmm. And it seems that this has been going on because then a couple of other parents, chimed in and asked some questions about it because they had also heard some similar stories.
All right, Jose, hold over, and I'll hold you over from the other side. I'm wondering if you heard my interview with Amy Allen last week because she had a similar experience in Bellevue. We'll go over that on the other side. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes after this. We're going to go back to Jose, Brian, Bill, and others. And before we go back to Jose, I'd just like to point out that we had Amy Allen on last week, and she was describing an incident where she had just moved down to New York City. She was a little bit lonely, a little bit depressed, and she decided to call a suicide hotline. Now, she had no intention of killing herself. She immediately told the person on the line she wasn't going to kill herself. She just needed somebody to talk to. And they sent cops over. The cops went and picked her up. They took her to Bellevue. They drugged her up, and she was literally there for 5 days before she was able to get in touch with anybody and get herself out of there. And she said literally, you know, by the end of the, you know, first couple hours of being there, she was so drugged she didn't know what was going on, what, you know, she was signing or being a part of. And she just thanks God that her family got her out of there. But, you know, it shows you that, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell people, you know, what to do and what to take, but I can tell them to be very, very cautious when a counselor tries to get your kid into a school program. So many parents are so quick to pawn their problems off on quote-unquote professionals or authorities. And as soon as you do that, it seems like their interest is really drugging your kid up. And, you know, it's not about taking care of the problem. It's literally about making them docile and putting them on these psychotropic drugs. Jose?
Two quick additional points that I wanted to make about this situation. The only way that the parent was able to get the daughter out of the hospital was by lawyering up. It was mm-hmm. the only way. The doctors were not willing to hand over the child. They actually had DIFUS involved, and the only way she was able to get her daughter out was by getting a lawyer involved. And another thing that we found out, it seems that a social worker got involved in the case and told the mom that a lot of, I guess, strange things have been going on within the hospital, and she is definitely against what's been going on. Mm-hmm. She informed her that a lot of the school counselors in the city of Elizabeth are paid employees of this hospital, and it seems that the hospital is under government control.
Well, it wouldn't be a shocker, man. I mean, did you see the story of the judge who took $2.3 million in kickbacks to put juveniles in juvenile detention centers when they hadn't done anything or done something that would have, you know, basically they shouldn't have gotten anything? For instance, this one girl made a fake MySpace page about one of her teachers, and he literally threw her in there for a year. And she won a lawsuit, but that's by her lawyering up and winning the lawsuit. They found out that this guy had gotten in the last, I think, 3 years, $2.3 mil in kickbacks for putting these kids into the program. So they obviously want these kids in juvenile detention centers. They want them CPS. They want them part of this grid type program.
Yes, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, because another thing that the social worker told her was that the hospital gets a certain amount of money from the government if they keep a certain amount of patients in that facility.
Mm-hmm, that's correct, too, man. No Child Left Behind or, you know, we got to have standardized testing. The worse the kids do, the more the school gets, so they don't mind not teaching the kids. So, again, the hospital gets more money, you know, for the more kids they get. They don't care. It's not their kids. People are so crass and so withdrawn from, you know, their own little, you know, outside of their own little worlds. They don't even understand what's going on. They don't care. It's more than apathy at this point. I thank you for the call, Jose. Check into what I was talking about. I mean, it's mainline news that this judge got millions in kickbacks to put these kids in detention centers. It's sick. All right, let's jump to Brian in New York. Brian, what's on your mind? Yes, Brian.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
All right. I was just curious, you know, today I actually got to go outside and saw a blue sky without any chemtrails.
Hey.
Well, I was totally shocked. You know, it's beautiful.
How is New York right now? What's the temperature out there?
Right now I can't tell you, but it was like wicked wind.
So, yeah, just windy, but it was pretty nice out, like, I mean, say 50, 60s now.
It was sunny. It was totally blue sky, but it was like probably 38 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So not totally impressive, but I've been totally noticing the chemtrails lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been constant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all over the place. Listen, I was talking to somebody today about this program, and I thank you for the call, Brian. We're going to go to Bill, Max, and others on the other side. It's 866-582-9933. Look, chemtrails are real. They're putting something in the sky. They're doing cross-hatch patterns. These things are going out into clouds. Apparently, NASA's official position, it's their program to fight global warming, which we know is a hoax. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
No one knows who gave the orders. No one asks about the crime. No one looks behind the curtain, and no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow, I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now.
All right, folks, we are back. We've got Bill, Max, and Richard on the line. We're going to be going to them in a minute, but I'm going to push through a little bit more of a news brief. I might as well get, geez, what do I want to do here? I want to do my green news. Can we pull up that GE website that I got sent today? The new GE website is all about going green. It's eco-friendly. We can have a smart grid. And it's a really cool flash animation. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty impressed by it. But it breaks it up into these like three sections, which are totally implausible. They're trying to say, oh, the Earth's going to be great, and we're going to have this new power grid, and they try to entice you. Look, wind, water, solar power. And here we go. We got it booting up right there. Look, look, plug into the smart grid. And there it goes all the way up to 100%. Oh, isn't that nice? That's so lovely. And then the three, like, mainlands pop up here. Oh, there they are, the power grid. There they are. There's the wind and the water and the solar and then the ice. There's a little happy guy over there and some fish in the water. Now, scroll down, guys. Underneath the plug. No. Underneath the plug, I want you to scroll because there's a pop-up thing at the bottom there. Yeah. See, it says navigate smart grid. Just put the cursor over the net. There you go. Now, go highlight each of those things. Alternative energy. CO2 emissions. See, CO2 emissions have their own little section over there. I mean, look, total brainwashing, total Johnny nonsense, trust me. U.S. Big Steel pushes for carbon fees on China. Now, we've been following this, not just Big Steel, but other people are now saying that they have to have carbon charges on China. See, this is how they get around it without having a carbon tax in the United States right now for you. They'll just simply tax China for the carbon emissions, and then you'll see that on the prices, because the prices will shoot up because you'll have had to pay that tax or tariff. Meanwhile, it legitimizes this whole carbon system that they're trying to bring in. And, here we go. World wants tough 2050 climate cuts. Split on path. And remember, the future is also about killing us all. And that's why in the future, there's only going to be 30 million people in the UK. There's 60 million there now. There's no way without a massive culling that the population is going to half itself. But Gordon Brown's best buddy. Yeah, I hope the Watson brothers do make it, you know? I hope you guys make it too. Yeah, I hope you're not, like, visiting the UK all of a sudden when it happens. But yeah, so world wants a tough 2050 climate cuts, split on path. Governments broadly support tough 2050 goals for cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. Oh, the greenhouse gas emissions, but are split on how they will share out the reductions. They're not going to share anything. Listen, all the industrial nations are still going to pollute. It's you that are going to be sharing everything with your neighbors. You're going to be sharing your tears over coffee about how high the carbon tax is. I didn't have anything and they took it anyway. Now I'm living in a FEMA camp. What else do we have? Oh, this was my favorite one. This was my favorite one. Are you ready for this one? EPA finds greenhouse gases endanger health. See, now it's not just the earth. Greenhouse gases, CO2, now hurts us. We exhale it. Without it, plants couldn't survive. I mean, give me a break. I'm standing in my own poison right now as we speak. Ah! The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency found that climate-warming greenhouse gases, including carbon dioxide, evil carbon dioxide, pose a danger to human health and welfare, a White House website showed on Monday. Total propaganda, folks. EPA's proposed endangerment findings sent to the Obama administration on Friday could pave the way for U.S. limits on emissions that spur climate change. Man, I just can't believe it. I can't read the whole thing because I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get a little nauseous. The call-in line is 866-582-9933. Let's go to Bill in New York. Bill, what's on your mind?
Hey, yes, Jason. Sir. It's Bill in New York.
Yes.
I'd like to know if you've considered the following scenario about 9/11. And I'll draw an analogy to the JFK assassination. People always say, well, you know, either Lee Harvey Oswald was or wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. Like that, those are the only two possibilities.
Sure.
So have you considered the possibility that it could be a conspiracy, that 9/11 could have been an inside job, and yet at the same time that it was the planes and only the planes that took the towers down?
I did in the beginning before I looked into it, but once you start looking into, you know, the physics of it, the molten metal at the scene, the NASA photography, the manner in which they came down, Building 7, that becomes a complete impossibility.
Let me raise one question, though. If you take a stick of butter and you raise it to room temperature, it's going to retain its form, but it's going to be very weak. Mm-hmm. And by the same token, if you take steel and you don't heat it to its melting temperature, but you heat it a lot, it's going to become much weaker.
Yeah, but we know it couldn't have been that temperature because we have the audio from the police department inside, and the police and fire department inside the impact zone between floors 72 and 77, where the plane hit, saying they could knock down small fires with hand lines. Okay, so now, number one, that makes it impossible to have 1,800-degree temperatures on those floors. 1,800 degree temperatures means no people on those floors.
Whoever said they were 1,800 degrees.
1,800 degrees is what they are saying would have caused the steel to weaken. Okay,
let's melt.
No, not to melt. To melt, it's 2,700 degrees.
Okay, but if they were 800 degrees, you don't think they would weaken?
1,800 degrees. They said that they would weaken possibly, but then because Underwriters Laboratories. Underwriters Laboratories did the tests with the steel, exposing them to much hotter temperatures for longer amounts of time, and although they sagged in certain areas, they did not collapse. They did not, and they had the same pressure on them, and they exposed them to much higher than 1,800 degree temperatures. And the reason I bring up 1,800 degrees is because that's the height of what jet fuel could actually burn at.
Now, and you don't think that would weaken the steel beams at all?
First of all, I don't think it was 1,800 degrees there. It's impossible. Okay,
well,
what do you think
it was, like 100 degrees?
No, I would say maybe at its point in some areas, and I'm talking about some areas, not the entire floor, but some areas probably had temperatures of 400 to 500 degrees. Maybe
and, that
six.
And you don't think that would weaken a steel beam?
No. 400 to 500 degrees? Listen, you look at what those steel beams, first of all, without the fireproofing, 2,700 degrees before they melt, 1,500 degrees before they even start to have this, where they start to weaken.
But how about the engineer who said that the World Trade Center was engineered only for a 707 to hit it?
No, that guy said that it could take multiple 707 impacts, and then he's dead.
I heard he could take one low and slow going in for a landing with
not at all. And if you watched any of my films, we have him in two of them. And he actually died during 9/11. He was in one of the buildings apparently, and he said that it could take. It was like poking a pencil through mosquito netting, is how he puts it. The main structure would remain. Would stay with its integrity, and he said it could take multiple, not even two, multiple. He was saying two or three.
One
shots,
other quick,
sure.
One other quick question. Is there any other instance in the world of a wide-body jetliner hitting a high-rise?
Yeah, comparably, even though the Empire State Building was made of different material, size-wise, compared to how big where the Empire State State Building was hit, and the B-25 bomber that hit it. Yeah, there you go. That was in the
50s. Is nowhere near the size.
And neither was the Empire State Building. That's what I'm saying. It's not the size of the World Trade Center. Well, it's tall. It's tall, but it's not. First of all, it didn't have that.
It was
integrated. Yeah. So was the World Trade Center, but it wasn't built. It wasn't built in the same grid. What, the World Trade Center was underbuilt?
Yeah, you're out of your mind. No, sure. For the wind, it was overbuilt. But in terms of structure, it was underbuilt.
That's not true. That's simply not true. The same interview with the gentleman who you refer to with the multiple plane strikes, if you read, you listen to his interview, he literally says the structure was overbuilt to withstand all sorts of natural disasters. And that's where he.
767 has six times the fuel of a 707.
What's that? 757 has six times the fuel. No.
Seven going into landing.
Listen. The 757 is definitely larger and may contain a lot more fuel. I would be hard pressed to think it's six times as much fuel.
A lot more fuel.
Pressed to believe it contains six times the fuel. And a 707 is pretty comparable in size to a 757.
He was talking about
it's a little bit smaller.
Coming in for a landing, which means it has a very low amount of fuel.
He said nothing about it coming in for a landing. He said,
No, he did not.
Dude, I have the video. I edited it myself. It is on the internet. Listen, go to Loose Change Final Cut. Watch the section on the World Trade Center.
Fair change?
It's not fair change, man. It's loose change.
Well,
you probably saw the second edition. Listen, watch the final cut. I got Gordon Ross in there. He's a structural engineer. I'm pretty sure we put Kevin Ryan in there. He worked for Underwriters Laboratories. They did the test. You obviously saw the second edition.
I need another example of a wide body hitting a high rise.
A wide body hitting a high rise. Yeah. Didn't we just have a plane? Hold on. I'm trying to think. Wide body hitting. Listen, I know about the B-25. I can't off the top of my head. Listen, how many high rise buildings do we have in the world that are over 50 stories?
And don't make comparisons if you don't have them.
What are you talking about? Listen, man. Obviously, you're trying to debunk the controlled demolition at the World Trade Center.
I'm
just saying.
I have an agenda. You have an agenda.
I don't have an agenda. You look at the evidence, man, of what was going on there. First of all, Let's talk about the mold.
I agree. It could have been a conspiracy. It could have been.
But listen, what I'm saying is you got all these different things going on that you're saying. You're saying, no, it could have weakened the steel, and the steel could have toppled on top of each other. I'm saying there's no way it was even that hot where it could have gotten to the temperatures they say it weakened the steel. Then we have the video evidence of molten steel or iron or a combination of both coming from the World Trade Center right before the second tower collapses.
Right.
And this thing is coming down as a foundry. Okay, so in other words, you can see it falling 20 to 60 floors on video right before it dissipates, kind of just like at a foundry that's pouring over, you know, how it'll stay molten metal. As it hits the atmosphere, it starts to cool off and become metal again. So right. You can see that. So that temperature right there in that one corner of the building, one corner, one small corner where that was happening, that's gotta be at the minimum 2,700 degrees. Gotta be, because it's melting the steel.
Right.
So why is there a concentrate? Yeah, which is impossible from jet fuel is what I'm telling you. Impossible.
No, but it is possible for an office fire.
No, it's not. No, it is not. It is not possible for an office fire to reach 2,700 degrees, man. Listen, that for example,
800 degrees that can melt, that can weaken steel. I didn't say
yeah, again. We're not talking about weakened steel right now. We're talking about the molten metal flowing off the World Trade Center, and I'm making the point that that would have to be 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit for that to do that. Steel don't
melt. How do you know it was metal?
Well, because they tried to say it was aluminum. And Stephen Jones did the test to show what molten aluminum looks like, and it has a silvery color, and it doesn't... First of all, they tried to say it was aluminum from the plane mixed from stuff from an office fire, right? That's what they said. That's what was coming off there. Now, he did that. He did the experiment. I seen it, okay? You can go online. You just type in Stephen Jones molten metal experiments, okay? He went into a lab. He moltenized metal. He added all sorts of, you know, wood and cloth and everything you would have in an office fire. It clumped up to the stuff that was not aluminum, did not mix with the aluminum. It clumped up into, you know, this other form, okay? The aluminum came out silver.
Those are not the only things in an office building. I'm telling you,
there is clear from the video that that's metal pouring out of the World Trade Center. It is not.
It is molten metal.
It absolutely is molten metal pouring out of the World Trade Center. And I'm saying that it cannot be aluminum from the plane because it's not silvery. When he did other tests and he shows the molten metal pouring out of this one specific point at the Second World Trade Center, he did the experiments. He showed that the only thing it could have been is iron and steel combined together or separately. Okay, steel doesn't melt it takes a little more for steel than iron. I think iron is something like...
How about PBS Nova and the BBC, who all have made documentaries with the conclusion being that it was...
Yeah, in 2002 and 2003. I mean, those things came out in 2002, 2003, and those things still contain the steel melted information and the pancake information.
But those are not the dark ages, you know, Jason.
Yeah, but what I'm telling you is that those aren't part of the 10,000-page NIST report that they put out 2 years later. Those two documentaries that they put out, they've admitted are lies. First of all, those Nova documentaries and the BBC documentary you're referring to.
Have you seen Why the Towers Fell?
Yes. I had to watch all this to do my films. I have all these at home. Where do you think in fact, Why the Towers Fell is where that gentleman talks about the planes hitting the buildings. 707 hitting the buildings.
If you didn't come to the conclusion you came to, you wouldn't have this radio.
That guy was dead. The guy talking about the planes.
You wouldn't have your radio program if you didn't come to the conclusion you came to.
Listen, if they didn't come to the conclusion, if they came to the correct conclusion, I'd probably still be working as a graphic designer during the day and just doing graphics because I wouldn't really care about politics that much. The only thing that motivated me, listen, it doesn't benefit me that the World Trade Center was blown up. Okay, it didn't. I didn't choose.
That's how you got this show.
That's not true.
Of course it is.
That is not true, man. Look,
you spent 3 years working on that.
You
want to
know? You want to know how I got this show? I'll tell you how I got this show.
Working on the documentary.
It wasn't just working on documentaries, man. It was doing. Hold on. This isn't my first radio show. Okay, I've done. Geez, to get here, I had to do three other radio shows before this that I did on and off for complete free. Okay, because I believed in what I did, I came across.
Pay for your.
I guess if no one was willing to pay for it. I mean, I never tried. No, it's such a hater, but yeah, I got no one willing to pay for it. I never tried to sell myself.
I don't want to rag on you anymore. I got a good show. You got to play more hard rock, though.
All right, man. Well, listen. Watch the final cut, and you'll see that this guy doesn't talk about planes coming in for landings. He talks how it can take multiple 707. Impacts than the largest plane at the time. okay? I mean, what is it going to take? Are we really going to have to rebuild the World Trade Center on my budget and then fly a commercial airliner in it to prove to people? Is that what it's going to take? I mean, Joe Rogan talked about it on the Alex Jones show. And until then, just people aren't going to be satisfied. It doesn't matter that jet fuel doesn't burn hot enough for the molten metal that was there. It doesn't matter. That's not a good talking point, I guess. I mean, I tried to make people understand. You can't have the molten metal at the scene without some other incendiary device. Okay? You cannot have office fires reach 2,700 degrees. If that were true, then we would have... Show the building again. I know this guy's not on PrisonPlanet.tv, but please show the building. Oh, man. I wanted to go to Richard in the Netherlands, but he had to drop. I'm sorry, Richard. Listen, this building is as engulfed with fire as you can get. It's not even a straight-up structure. It's built bent like that, okay? It's built on an angle. It's a steel frame building. It's not 10 or 20 floors on fire. It's all 57, okay? It's all the floors, and it didn't fall. It didn't weaken. It didn't collapse. There was no molten metal on the scene. The office fires didn't cause that. If office fires caused molten metal, they wouldn't build, you know, skyscrapers out of steel. That's the bottom line. It doesn't happen. All right. Let's jump to Max in Houston. Max, what's on your mind? Yes, Max. We got Max or did he drop? Hello? All right. We'll come back to callers on the other side. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. If you want to, you know, check out some of the things that I've said, please check out Stephen Jones's research. He'll show you that the molten metal pouring out wasn't aluminum from the plane. He'll explain to you why it was a controlled demolition. Check out Gordon Ross, or just check out Loose Change Final Cut. We go over it. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. TV viewers of the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis over to the screen right now to see what I was referring to with this caller. Now, right over in here, just put it up on screen. Just give it to the screen gods. There you are. Now, if you watch the video, it's from this corner, this one concentrated corner, that you have a foundry of molten metal pouring out. Now, what does this suggest? Well, you know, Stephen Jones, who's done a lot of the research and literally lost his job at BYU for speaking up to the fact that these official reports just did not add up in the World Trade Center collapse. And he did the studies and the tests and said, wow, there's a real problem here. He did some research on this, and he says that these have to be massive temperatures that couldn't have been caused by the plane, couldn't have been caused by office furniture, as they say, in a concentrated portion at the World Trade Center, and it flows down like a foundry. Now, possibly this is one of those cutter charges being released. You know, if it was, let's say it was thermite that they used to bring down the World Trade Center, or at least in part. If one of those thermite things cut loose, if you've ever seen a thermite reaction, Jones does it well. I mean, it literally makes metal molten like that. It'll cut right through like if you took your skillet, your iron skillet, that you fry something up with, and you ignited thermite in it, man, boom, right through it. You'd have that molten metal, and it would pour through. And that's what you'd get, that thermite-type reaction. So go check out Stephen Jones's research. You know, there's a guy who's not doing pseudoscience. He's doing real science, real work. All right, let's jump to our next caller. Let's go to Aaron in Minnesota. Aaron, what's on your mind? Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Jason. How's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, two things here. I guess I got a quote for that guy that just could not believe, you know, that you're telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's this quote. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation.
I guess.
By Herbert Spencer.
Yeah, but, you know, he sounded like he had done a little bit of investigating, you know what I mean? I mean, I just don't know if he'd gotten to the controlled demolition point. I mean, when I first came across 9/11, quote-unquote, being an inside job, had nothing to do with controlled demolition. That's not how I came in. I came in through, what NORAD official response was and how they had changed it in the first couple months. I came in through people like Michael Rupert's research, who did The Truth and Lies of 9/11, which was mainly financial and ties that way. He did like a big list of all these different coincidences. I thought about that. I came in through the hijackers' connections to U.S. intelligence agencies, all that stuff. Controlled demolition was later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I actually, before I actually kind of woke up, I didn't really know what I was looking at when you're looking at this controlled demolition from the top down. Mm-hmm. You're just like going, wow, that's what it's supposed to happen, and that's not what happens.
No, and you know what? A lot of people say there's no such thing as a top-down controlled demolition. I've never seen one on this scale, but there's videos out there. I'll pull one up in the next break of a top-down controlled demolition where you can see the first. It's basically a three-story building, and it's pop, 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 all three stories top down.
But again, I didn't know what I was actually looking at, you know. And then when you're hearing about the debris field and Ground Zero, what's left, you know, this pulverized concrete. I worked concrete for like 10 years. You know what? It takes a massive amount of force to pulverize concrete.
Yeah, so that you have the microns of dust. Yeah, I mean, there was literally so much concrete that was particleized to the size of barium and, you know, chromium and these other hard metals that was almost indistinguishable. That's why all these guys are dying right now. Well, it's because they inhaled concrete and heavy metals, man. We'll come back to your call after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Warrior with Jason Burmis. And before we go back to Aaron in Minnesota and other callers, I just want to show this top-down demolition to the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. We've got it. Pull it and do it. Oh!
As if a demolition team set off when you see the old demolition to these old buildings.
Looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown up.
All right, pull it. I didn't know that it had more than that top-down implosion, but they do look similar. You can actually just pause it right there, and maybe we'll go back to some more of that video in a moment. Let's go back to Aaron in Minnesota. Aaron, anything else?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about maybe starting, like, an awards for mm-hmm. some of these people. We could call it, like, the Prestigious Douchebag Awards. not the person that called in.
For the actual people that put this out, put this propaganda out.
Well, yeah, or maybe the Bushes or the Rockefellers. He could be like a Prestigious Douchebag Award.
Let's call him Donnie Douchebags. Let's start giving out the Donnie Douchebag of the Week.
I still like the Prestigious.
You like the Prestigious? I don't know. These guys are giving me the Hove signs over here. Hey, man, I'm always up for some more bits. There's just so many criminals every week. It's so hard to pick just one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got these two cops that shot a 73-year-old man at his family reunion with his friends and family. He couldn't even speak. He had throat cancer. I mean, do they get it? Or does...
No, he could have been a terrorist. You never know. He could have been sign languaged or, he looked funny.
Yeah.
He looked at him funny. And you know what? Maybe he visited Alex's website. And you know how that goes.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, brother. I thank you for the call.
Or he was wearing a Ron Paul shirt.
Yeah, it could have been at Ron Paul. You never know. I don't think this guy even knows who Ron Paul is, but he doesn't know anything anymore because he just got gunned down by the cops. All right, let's go to Matt in D.C. Matt, what's on your mind? Yes, Matt.
First off, I just wanted to say I appreciate everything that you've done.
Thank you.
And you have a great show and keep it up.
Thanks, man.
And I just wanted to tell a story about my sister. She basically didn't want to get cervical cancer, so she decided to get the Gardasil vaccine.
The HPV vaccination. For those that don't know, HPV, human papillomavirus, is this, you know, I don't even want to call it herpes-like because it's not even, you know, close to as bad as herpes. But, like, you know, you can get a few, like, things here and there. It's not life-threatening, but they tell the girls that HPV can lead to cervical cancer and fear-monger them into this Gardasil shot. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it scared the hell out of her. And basically, she finished up the last round, and as soon as she was done, she had a major panic attack, breakdown. Then 3 months or 6 months later, she got mono. And now 3 months later, so after that, she has been recently diagnosed with lupus.
Oh, my God, my man. Look, dude, that is a horror story. And you just got to keep, you know, you got to keep talking to your, you know, one day your sister might have kids. And you just got to be
well,
like,
I, look. I started working at a natural food and organic store. And for this, basically, I just wanted to tell the listeners that heavy metal toxin detoxes are key in this day and age right now. With all the metals that are floating around in the water and the air.
In your deodorant?
Everything. You need to detox these things and keep be aware of what you're putting in your body.
Well, now everything has high fructose corn syrup in it. And I'm like, last night I'm trying to get some Breyers ice cream. And I can't even do that conscientiously. I look at the high fructose corn syrup and I wonder if they have mercury in it. You know, Washington Post, half of the high fructose corn syrup has mercury. A story I would have laughed at a year ago. I would have been like, no way. High fructose corn syrup is poisonous enough. They don't want to put mercury in it. Lo and behold, they're doing it. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We'll be back after this. InfoWarrior.com is the website. I am Jason Burmis, your host. Let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to Caroline in Florida. Caroline, what's on your mind?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
Well, I just buried my father today.
Yikes.
And I wanted to call in about when, like, I listened to Alex. I've been listening to him for the, gosh, about 3 years. I've been caregiving for my parents now for six, and both of my parents have died, my mother just a year ago, from criminal malpractice, and it's been like nursing homes for rehab and hospitals and doctors all together. I even called an attorney once because I had to get guardianship over my mother. And I started telling him things that were happening, and he said, Caroline, there's not a conspiracy going on. And I said, what did you just say?
A lot of people are just in denial. They don't want to believe that. You know.
He was a specialist with the elderly in taking care of their property and things. But it's been really hard finding an attorney. And I do have someone now, but I feel like we need a team. And I think on your show, it would be good if you had attorneys call in and offer, you know, to help people, because it's not easy to find someone in your hometown.
No, it's actually very difficult, and it's difficult to somebody who's going to take your case, especially like pro bono or if you don't have a lot of money. And a lot of people are just uninterested and uninvolved because it doesn't, you know, it's not their family. It doesn't happen. It hasn't happened to them yet. But it's very difficult. You know, we had another caller today, you know, maybe not talking about, you know, senior citizen care, but about the care of, you know, young children. And it seems like all these establishments are really just interested in one thing, and that's your money. You know, they could care less about whether or not they're taking care of your loved ones. And, you know, it's just sad that we're in a society now that you're uninvolved. A lot of people are detached from their parents altogether. I mean, I'm not the best. I talked to my mom maybe twice this month. But at the same time, I would be horrified if I had to put her into a home, especially one that I couldn't trust. And I don't know what homes you could trust at this point. That's why, you know, you have to build relationships with your family members. And I thank you for the call, Caroline. And you have to take care of them. You know, I'm hoping that one day, you know, when I'm old and gray, if I'm, you know, sitting there drooling on myself and in a chair and don't know what's going on, I don't want to be taken advantage of by these parasites. I'm hoping that, you know, if I have children, I'm going to maintain a relationship with them. You know, you can't depend on anybody but yourself and your family. And really, depending on your family, it's all decided on how strong the ties are that you build with them over the years. You know, it doesn't shock me that, I mean, this happens all the time. I mean, there's been 2020 specials on it. You know, as far as getting lawyers on the show to try to help people, I'm going to tell you right now, that's difficult. I mean, I don't have a lawyer right now. You know, I've been approached by several, but they're very, very busy. And especially in this economy, they're a lot more busy than you would think. You know, a lot of foreclosures, a lot of people losing their house, a lot of people fighting for their rights right now. So, you know, that would be a very difficult thing to pull off. I do thank you for the call. All right, let's jump to Jake in Kansas. Jake, what's on your mind?
Hey.
Yes,
again,
sir. How you doing?
I just got done installing Windows 7 RC1.
How is it? Is it better than
Pretty
Vista?
Good. It's everything Vista should have been, uh-huh. But my main concern is not only just to see all the pretty new things that they had, you know, in driver support with my new hardware, but mm-hmm. To see if there's any of those Big Brother things that I heard that was saying that it's going to track you and everything,
sure.
And I haven't really identified any of the services yet. Mm-hmm. I don't really see anything goofy in there yet. Like I said, it's still RC1.
Are you the guy that called in about the Symantec virus that went like all over the net a few weeks ago?
No, but I actually am spreading that now that I heard it either on Alex Jones or your show,
mm-hmm.
Because I took that to heart. I didn't really actually have the time to look it up. I hate Norton. I'm a Norton hater. I mm-hmm. said, you know, it's bloatware. It'll do nothing but slow your computer down, and they don't catch any viruses. Actually, they put more viruses on your computer because, see, they're the most popular. If you get the most popular thing, the viruses and the spy, mainly, there's really no such thing as viruses anymore. It's all about spyware, malware, and how to get your bank account information and to, you know, drain your accounts. And they mm-hmm. blow right, they engineer them to blow right past Norton, see, and then they can hijack it.
What do you use? I use Avast. Am I off or what? What are you using?
I don't use anything.
Really?
I don't get in trouble. See, I know where to go. I know where I'm going.
You always have a firewall up?
I have double hardware firewalls.
Okay.
So, yeah, back-to-back ISIS firewalls.
Gotcha.
But anyway, while I was installing the beta, I decided to flip on the tube and mm-hmm. just to kind of give me a distraction. And lo and behold, it was Ron Paul on today with the Glenn Beck.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really hear too much of that. I must have caught the end of it. And then
mainline Republican senators outside of Paul saying that this is now going to be a banana republic, now that they're now announcing the trillions of dollars that they're going to print up. We talked about it last week because the IMF already talked about it. And for those who don't know, the Federal Reserve, for the first time in history since, I believe, the 60s, or no, it might be the first time in 60 years. It's either the 60s or 60 years. They're buying up U.S. Treasury bonds with the trillions they're printing. And they said they were going to print between $850 and $1.4 trillion to buy up these bonds. And then later in the article, it said that they weren't done and that there would be trillions more printed up for other programs. It's just today that they're announcing that these trillions are here for a new stimulus package. Meanwhile, you know, I have this article in front of me, U.S. housing rescue threatened by the banks. And they're saying basically, this is out of Reuters. They're saying basically, even with all this regulation, the banks, even with all the nationalization, here they admit that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were effectively nationalized in September. You know, that's a word no one's throwing around. But they nationalized Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And what they're trying to do now is say, well, you're still going to lose your house, but it's going to be the bank's fault because they didn't want to work with this stimulus package. Meanwhile, it's all being engineered, man.
Fannie Mae, I have a friend I went to high school with that lives right down the street from me. And, you know, I started getting into my point of view and my side, my take on things, on all this. And they said, well, you know, Obama did something good, and he, out of some of that money they gave to Fannie Mae or whatever, which is their financer, they decided to go ahead and lower their house payment to an affordable level, and that they're really happy that that did it for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have enough money to feed their kids. So I kind of was had to back off a little bit because I don't know nothing about it, really. I mean, I just know bits and pieces of everything going on.
Well, that's what the plan is. All right, so in other words, they lowered his payment, but they did that after they gave it over to government control. See, it's all about getting the government control, and then they're going to give you a little piece. It's just like Alex talked today on air, how they're saying a World Bank will save us. Well, the first, you know, month, year, maybe 2 or 3 years that the World Bank is there, yeah, it is going to save us. Okay, we're all going to be doing better than before they put the World Bank into place. So before it was nationalized, people were losing their house. Now that they've nationalized it and it's under government control, now they'll say, okay, they'll throw you a little bit of a bone to make you think that it's a good program. You know, meanwhile, they basically just took it over. It's a government takeover. You know, they took over a private foundation. The government owns their house, and now the government's making them pay less for it. Doesn't mean the government still doesn't own it. You know, still can't pull those adjustable rate mortgages. No, they can. But they're
Bill
they're
making, O'Reilly.
Yeah.
He's starting to talk a little bit more now about stuff. Yesterday, Keith Olbermann and another old white guy and two other people, I have no idea who they were, at this little panel, and they were talking about comparing people that listen to Ron Paul and join all these little groups and go out to the tea parties, and they're comparing it to the last time a Democrat was in power, and that Timothy McVeigh, people like Timothy McVeigh, went out and murdered a bunch of people or bombed things, and that this is the exact talk that crazy kooks like Glenn Beck are causing these people over, and they're just very mad at Fox right now that everybody, they should shut Fox down. I mean, not quote-unquote, but, I mean, they were talking demonizing that and making us feel sorry for not going along with everything that the government is doing. And if we, you know, I'm just saying, I felt like I was on a guilt trip because that's the way they're portraying it.
And that's how they're trying to make it look to your neighbors, man. I thank you for the call. They want to demonize you. You know, I mean, they want you to look like a loon. They want, see, this guy's arguing now. He might blow something up. He might go right in there and blow up a bunch of kids. And then you look at the federal Murrah building. You read things like The Final Jihad by, Governor Keating's brother. Governor Keating of Oklahoma got on TV that day twice, got on there discussing how there were multiple bombs found by the SWAT teams inside the Oklahoma City federal building. Then his brother writes a book before the attacks at OKC about a Tom McVeigh blowing up the federal building in Oklahoma, and he dedicated that to the Knights of the Secret Circle. I mean, wake up! All right, let's go to Mitch in Virginia. Mitch, what's popping? You know what, Mitch? Hold on. There's the music. I'm not looking at my clock. It's my amateur radio style. We'll go to Mitch and others on the other side. It's the Info Warrior at theinfowarrior.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. And there's Jaron bobbing his head. Hey. But my play days are over, my friends, and now I just work for a living. Although it's fun. I do like it. You know, although I get accused from everything that having an agenda. Burmese, you wouldn't be here without an agenda. Listen, folks, I was running my mouth slap happy at frat parties in 2002 over beer pong on this stuff with zero agenda. No agenda other than listen, you want to know what my agenda is? I would love to see the real criminals tried and prosecuted for 9/11. Absolutely. That's my agenda. So be it. It's not to stay on the air. You want to take away my radio show? Please do. The first day of the trials, hey, take it away. That's fine. You can have it. Let's get these guys in the courtroom. I'll be more than happy to vacate my spot on the mic. All right. Let's go to Mitch in Virginia, then Steve, Jake, and others. Mitch, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
Good, man.
Yeah, just on that subject right there, I was thinking about that last night. If we were to actually prosecute the people that were that should be held responsible for 9/11, what that jail would actually look like and what would go on in it.
Do you really want to know what my dream is? Because I have a
yeah,
dream.
Yeah, sure.
My dream is that we basically do to them what they want to do to us. In other words, we fashion them with a chip just off the bat, just to dehumanize them, let them know. You give them the little chipski. Then you put them in Gen Pop because they don't deserve anything better than Gen Pop. Then, just because they're special folks, we fit them with a camera in their cell, okay? 24-hour surveillance, just like they want for us, all right?
And telephone calls, too.
Yeah. And in Gen Pop. So, you know, at any time, and then this is my big idea. Is that we turn it into a 24-hour TV station, and we put it out there, and then all the advertising dollars can go to federal programs or whatever. The government can make some money off of it because hopefully by then we'll have taken the government for and by the people. And literally, you know, you're having a bad day. You can't get to sleep. It's like 3 a.m. The NyQuil's not working. You kick on the tube, and you can actually watch Dick Cheney crying on his toilet. You know, that's... That's really where I would love to see it go. You know, I would love to put them into... First of all, they shouldn't get better than a Gen Pop prison because they're the guys that created this prison system in the first place.
Oh, yeah. Maximum Security Federal and put it on the internet right next to InfoWars.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's go to the TV station. But yeah, the live stream... We figure that the TV station will have to have some edits. In other words, they'll have to choose a spot since a lot of these guys are going to go to prison. But yeah, the internet TV channel. Yeah, you'll get to go to whatever cell you like whenever you like, you know. So you can keep in with Cheney while... You know, we're going to Daddy Bush. Wouldn't that be great if we actually did prosecute these guys in a timely manner?
Oh,
and someone like George H.W. Bush had to do some time. That guy is a kingmaker. He thinks he's a king. There's no doubt about it. You know, you got to top with these guys.
It'd be awesome. I wanted to ask you a question about eugenics real quick.
Sure.
Recently, a local paper put out a front page ad, or not ad, but a story about a German woman who was in Nazi Germany, and she was... forced to be sterilized, and she moved back to Virginia, and they covered a story on it, and then they also cited that the origin of the Germans' eugenic project came from America, mm-hmm. and one of the first eugenics projects is the Lynchburg Project mm-hmm. out of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, Warner apologized publicly for 1924 to 1979 project that continued in Virginia.
Wasn't that out of the Carnegie Institute? Wasn't the Carnegie Institute the ones that kind of funded that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it covers all that in the paper, too. but I just was wondering what was actually the very first eugenics project, if you happen to know.
The very first eugenics project? That's a great question. I don't know that, but I would say, well, it really depends on what your level of eugenics are. I mean, first of all, the Carnegie Institute.
I probably want to put it in the congressional, you know, legal
context. Part. It's probably that. It really got, Alex goes over in Endgame, it really got a boost from the Carnegie Institute that really, you know, put the term into play and started to fund it. So I would say, you know, probably late 20s when that went into place. I mean, a lot of the, you got to understand, that's also vaccinations and stuff. That's probably part of this eugenics program. It's not a shocker that from, I think, what was it, 57 to 62, they're putting SV40 in the polio vaccinations. I'm going to look into that. I'll give you an answer for that tomorrow, see what I can find. Thank you for the call. We're going to go to Steve, Jake, and others on the other side. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis.
And I can't help but wonder, no Willie McBride, do all those who lie here know why they die? Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? Did you really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing and dying, it was all done in vain. Oh, Willie McBride, it all happened again and again and again and again and again. Did they beat the drums?
All right, folks. We are back, and we're going to keep taking your calls. The number is 866-582-9933. That's 866-582-9933. But before then, I want to do my last little news blitz of the night. So why don't we just, we'll go from lighthearted to more serious each time. I had to bring up this story because I heard about it on the radio today and checked it out. The Nano, world's cheapest car to hit Indian roads. Now, we're not talking Navajos, folks. This is going out to the country of India. And the Tata Motors Nano, the world's cheapest car at around $2,000. It's one of those little electric cars. Not electric cars, but, you know, those like smart cars, I guess, but at $2,000, that is pretty smart. I'm usually against the smart car because they still want you to shell out $16,000 for it. Not so smart. Going to die in a car accident, but two G's. Let me tell you, folks, I paid almost three times that for my crappy Integra, and that's a 98. Oh, man. Jaron's going to be doing one-liners in here all week coming up. I'm going to be pulling him in and he's going to give his perspective on the callers as well. Jaron is just a one-line king out there. All right. The Tata Motors Nano, the world's cheapest car at around 2 G's, will hit Indian roads in July. And with demand set so far, outstrip supply, the first 100,000 owners will be picked at random. That's weird. Hundreds of thousands are expected to put their name down for a Nano, including many previously limited to motorbikes or public transport following Monday's formal launch. I know Slumdog Millionaire is big right now, but, you know, let's just say that most people in India ain't rocking cars right now. You know, you ever see those trains, like, with, like, way too many people on them? You know what I'm talking about, Hoosh? You ever seen them? You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, 40 dudes, like, on the side. You're like, how are they doing this? But, you know, in some third world nations, second world nations, that's how it is. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, I just wanted to hit this one. Accused sleeper agent pleads not guilty in U.S. Now, this is a guy that was grabbed up in December 2001, and then in 2003, he was branded an enemy combatant. So he did, you know, 1 to 2 years just in limbo before they basically said he was officially in limbo with enemy combatant status, and he's in the United States now. Is he in the United States? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's in the United States now, but apparently he's going to have some kind of a show trial, and he's pleading not guilty in it. And this, again, is one of the September 11th guys, a guy you haven't heard of that much. But, you know, this guy, how? Think about it. Even if he's guilty, oh, there's the trains. Even if he's guilty, he just, without a trial, he just spent 8 years in some kind of prison torture camp. And he's pleading not guilty. That's not a speedy trial. And I know he's not a U.S. citizen, but with the enemy combatant status, this could happen to you as well. All right. Last story, and then we're going to go to calls. And we're going to go to Richard in the Netherlands first because he's, you know, he's in the Netherlands, folks. It's probably a big long-distance bill. All right. This is out of the Sakun Gazette Enterprise. And is this Guadalupe County here? Is that what they're talking about, guys? Is that what this is? No, it's not Guadalupe County here. It's somewhere else. County plans to deal with unthinkable. Around the world, up to 2 billion people have died. Yeah, no, it is here. Okay. Depending upon whose count one uses. And in the United States alone, deaths could total one-third of the population. One-third of the... So they're really, right now, talking about a $100 million culling in the states that they're going to prepare for. Somewhere in the federal government, the decision is made, and secret medical stockpiles stored at secret locations are loaded into aircraft, and within 12 hours... move to wherever they are most likely to be able to stop a pandemic that threatens mankind. Local officials have 36 hours to treat their entire population. In Guadalupe County, that would be 115,000 people. You know what this reminds me of? Anybody watch The Stand back in the day? That miniseries with Stephen King where the biological thing gets out of the military base and then all of a sudden hell breaks loose. I mean, this is something they've talked about and preconditioned us for well over a decade now. And here's just another drill trying it out. All right, let's go to your callers. I promised we do so. Let's go to Richard in the Netherlands. Richard, what's on your mind?
Hi, Jason. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for waking me up with your film, Loose Change.
Well, thank you.
I think it was a really good movie, and I was really glad it was aired on public TV in the Netherlands.
Killer.
On BNN.
Awesome.
Well, I really wanted to change the subject a little bit because I tried to call in earlier, but my battery went dead.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about aliens and UFOs, and I always listen to Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And he really taught me to listen to the things that weren't being said.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I always see on TV is structures on the moon and structures on the planet Mars.
Sure.
And they always reference it to alien beings, but what I'm really thinking about is, aren't those structures really built by humans?
I mean, that's a good question, and whether or not they're structures at all. I mean, for the ones on Mars, in other words, the pyramid structure and the possible face on Mars, that's the biggest controversy out there. Very interesting stuff. I know that Alex, last summer while I was around, he had Richard Hoagland on, and he's done some interesting stuff into NASA and the secret programs there and all that. Now, as far as, you know, structures on the moon, they go over that slightly in, UFOs, The Greatest Story Ever Denied. That's out there. They say that basically, I just want to let people know what the arguments for these are. They say that some of these pictures show superstructures and that in some cases that they've been photoshopped or blurred out. You know, you can see the smear or like the clone tool or whatever. Now, whether or not that's the case, it does look like the clone tool has been used in some cases. Whether or not there's structures on the moon or Mars, I'm not sure. Now, the next question is, could they be man-made? And that's a great question. I mean, we're talking to Mars, and, you know, let's say that UFOs aren't just military. You know, there's something else to UFOs. What could they be? Now, you know, just talking to Mars, you know, they could be extraterrestrial. They could be interdimensional. You know, some people have even thrown around the idea that these are what the ancient angels and demons are, you know, sky beings or, you know, other things. Or, you know, we even threw around that, and this was before the show, the fact that it could possibly be humans who know about time travel and the space-time continuum. So all those things are possible, but I just haven't seen any evidence that would point to any one thing other than the fact that, you know, it's interesting, it's cool to look into. But, you know, as far as, like, I think that Hoagland goes too far in some of the structures that he identifies on the moon, you know. I mean, some of those could definitely be just rock formations. You know, but then at the same time, I find it hard-pressed to believe that the structures on Mars don't have some kind of intelligent design to them. You know, they seem too perfect. I'm not even talking about the head. I'm talking about the city or the pyramid shapes that seem to be there as well. So, I mean, who knows? Well, what's your opinion?
Well, I think that it's pretty obvious because the Moon and Mars are the two nearest objects to Earth,
mm-hmm.
appearing with structures or things that are shaped like structures that are very similar to those found on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I listen to arguments made by Maxwell Jordan, he mm-hmm. often talks about the human species being millions of years old, and I often find that supported by the geological evidence, for example, of footprints of humans and dinosaurs. So I often draw the conclusion that former civilizations really had maybe a higher form of technology than us, and also lived and perished like the civilization that we're in today.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe people are overlooking the fact, maybe a little bit too easy, that it's not very hard to discover that humans have existed on the planet Earth and for millions of years and have lived and, well, not really evolved, but have higher and lower degrees of technology and have applied those.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, again, the you look at the pyramids on this planet, and those are a huge mystery. I mean, just talking to Mars about that was an interesting subject. I thank you for the call, Richard. It's a good caller. The reason we're even talking about UFOs on the show is because the British government has just declassified a bunch of documents from the 80s and 90s regarding UFOs. You can't even get on the website because so many people are hitting it up for the documents, you know, in search of that golden nugget, I guess. But, you know, from what they're showing in the mainstream reports, a lot of these are British intelligence thinking that the U.S. is working on different types of aerospace programs and having secret projects, which is very possible. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Steve in Florida. Steve, you still with us?
Hey, Jason, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll be sure to say I'm from the Netherlands next time so that I get bumped ahead.
I'm sorry, I had to bump him. He was on earlier, and I'm just like, all right. I was in my office. There's a special on Holland and the Netherlands on there, so I'm like, all right, I got to take this guy.
Right, no sweat. Just a couple thoughts before I tell you what I was calling about originally. Mm-hmm. You know, trading your radio show in for those tribunals would be a worthwhile trade, I think.
I think so. I've got no problem giving up my radio show. We get those tribunals, man.
And segueing from there, I too have a dream. I was grinning and laughing out loud when you started telling your dream, which I think included the lower-level cronies that we give too much credence to. Which
oh, sure. They're not the top.
You know, you wanted to see Cheney on his toilet and all that. So this is my dream. It's real quick and simple. I was actually on hold with Alex one day and didn't get through. I was going to say this. And it's, you know, I want to see these guys, just like you, thrown in the camps that were built by them for us. But a little more sinister than what you were willing to say, I would like to see them, before we all evolve to a higher consciousness and do away with what they created, I would like to see them tortured by the people that they trained to torture innocent people around this world. And then, yes, broadcast that to us, because that's how sick these people are.
They are sick, but, dude, you know what the problem with that is? That just, you know, creates a society that kind of enjoys that and wants. Listen, I hear you. The anger gets in there, too, on me, and I'm just like, I'm one of those guys. Listen, I'm very, you can ask anybody that's ever been close to me. You can be my best friend in the world for years and years and years, and if I feel that you really took it to me, you stabbed me in the back, and you screwed me over, I am one of the most vindictive pricks around. And I'm not saying that to be, you know, to have an effect, but I know myself. I mean, I mean, just an example, you know, just because I guess it'll make for good radio. My best friend that I met out in college, that was aside from the guys that I went to high school with, he slept with my girlfriend, and we were like best. We went to California together, the whole thing, you know, we're best buddies. And he slept with my girlfriend. I can't tell you the terrible things that I did to this guy over the years. I really just cannot even tell you the things I did to him over the air, because some of them, quite frankly, were illegal. Oh, Paul's asking me to ask one thing that I did to this kid. Man, what should I tell him? Jeez, what
now,
did I...
while you're thinking, my brother did this, but we're not going to go there.
Oh, your brother did it too? But that's different. You can't get rid of him. He's blood.
No,
I've done some vindictive
things.
Yeah, no, you know what? My brother did the same thing to me when I was 15 years old, too. And he was younger than me, but he looks like hell now. He's 28, and he looks like he's like 37. And I'm 29, and I look like I'm 22. So who got the better end of that deal? Yeah, but let's see. What did I do to Calabrese? Let me think. I don't want to say too much of his name on the air. Let's just say that we were at a bar one time, and he was looking for an organic product. And I knew somebody with that organic product, but before I gave it to him, I took that organic product into the men's restroom with me, and I peed all over it. And then I gave that organic product to my friend, and I remember late night, we went back to the frat house, and it was all of us hanging around, and let's just say that he was enjoying some herbal refreshments that I had gotten for him and peed on. And he was offering it to me, and all I could do was to bite down on my lip and leave the room from laughing into hilarity as the man smoked my pee. So,
Of course, this is long before you matured into
this.
This
is before I knew anything. I mean, this has got to be back in '99. You know, I mean, I can't even tell you like the other things that I did to him through. I mean, I've pretty much squashed it, but. Well, I mean, Paul's asking me to really just lay it out there. I can't. Let's just say I ended up getting back with the girl. She was no good anyway, and it taught me a good life lesson on who to trust. So, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, you can take that vindictiveness to a certain extent, and then it's like, gotta pull back.
I can't believe I just said what I said over this phone, but it's because of you and Alex and the
you know, the bravery that's out there, that, you know, we can stand up and continue to stand up and not worry about the, you know, the surveillance and all that. We have to be strong. But to the point I wanted to bring up, it's mm-hmm. it's serious. It's dark. And, I have the objectivity and discernment of, like you guys do, and it takes a lot to convince me to side with factual information. These coffins that are showing up on YouTube all over the country.
The plastic ones.
I mean, let me say before I want you to say anything about it, look at the power we all have had lately and even over the years where Alex can get millions of people riled up about something enough to call a whole city where all the city officials want to jump up and be, you know, little fakers on the radio with us trying to, you know, buy us off with their propaganda, even where the military will come on the phone. Why mm-hmm. can't we all band together and demand, just like we do to those, you know, smaller incidences, let's get a day where we're all crazy about this thing and get to the Department of Defense and get to these, you know, these trains that have FEMA logos on them that are next to these places that have a million coffins.
Well, let's do it on InfoWarrior Independence Day. Let's do it on Independence Day this year. I mean, I'm encouraging people to do whatever they can, whatever organization you're a part of, whether it's End of the Fed, We Are Change, Truth Action, to hand out DVDs, to call up people. The thing is that I don't have a phone number. For, you know, I see a lot of these coffins. It's easy for me to get up here when I have the MIAC report and I got a phone number and I can give out the phone number.
Well, just give me your opinion. I mean,
I think it's a great idea, bro. I think it's great.
I mean, about the coffins. Like, what do you really think?
Oh my God, they're there for a mass culling. They're there for a pandemic. I mean, listen, you got the right hand man of Gordon Brown, who's part of the World Sustainable Society. Gordon Brown's part of that. He's all about global government. He says he needs a new world order to save the world. And then the guy under him says that the UK population has to be 30 million. It's 60 plus a million right now. What happens to half those people? They're not. Listen, it's going
to
take.
Well, they're not going to let them have babies, and they hope that by doing that, the old people die off and nobody's there to replace them. But
even,
you know,
if nobody gets to have babies, how does that happen? You got 70 years to wait before it gets down to, you know, another, you know, let's say it gets down to 50 million. Let's say they sterilize the entire population there, right? You got 60 million people there. The best you can hope for in 25 years is that 10 million of those people die. And you're down to 50. How are they going to half it? It's very scary, dude. I thank you for the call. Let me see. Yeah, no problem, brother. Man, that is scary. That 30 million thing cannot be underestimated. I mean, they wonder why we talk about population reduction. It's because the leaders, the officials, the government, the authorities are talking about population reduction. The last thing I want to spend my morning breakfast thinking about as I butter my bagel is how they want to, you know, inject me with a cancer vaccine and kill me. I don't want to think about that, but it's reality. I'm a big boy. I wear big boy pants. I have to think about reality. All right, we're going to come back, finish up your callers, and finish up the show. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. Here. Each caller is going to have about 60 seconds, and then we're going to have to end the show here. I want to remind people, Afghanistan now has, what are they, big dogs? Big dogs attacking them, and they are robots. They got these little robots attacking in Afghanistan, and they look vicious. They look. Can you imagine a robot rolling up on you with four legs ready to shoot your ass? My God. And that's what's in store for the people of Afghanistan. Mike, all right. Take your final calls. Let's go to Jake in Minnesota. Jake, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jake, thanks for having me.
You got it.
I was listening to the other call, and he was talking about the person that was talking about the right-wing crazy people and looking like Timothy McVeigh. That was Bill Maher, our former friend of Ron Paul, just totally bashing the right-wing side of us.
And that was on Real Time?
Yep.
This week?
That was this week. I believe it was. It was real recent, so.
I'll have to download it, man. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, so that was that. And now it's kind of talking about they're demonizing Glenn Beck now, and it's almost like Glenn Beck is playing this crazy role of a person that is pretty easy to demonize because he doesn't bring up a whole lot of facts. And, you know, I was kind of for him before, but I can kind of see that now. He brings up a little bit here and there, but not enough to, like, go at the other side of the media.
Yeah, not enough for the big picture, enough to keep you in that controlled right-left paradigm where, again, they attack because Democrats are empowered. Glenn Beck, disingenuous douchebag with a bad haircut. I got to let you go. I got to go to the last caller of the night. I thank you for the call, Jake. I'll have more time tomorrow if you get in earlier. All right, let's go to Steve in Houston. Steve, final caller, what's up?
Yeah, good evening, Jason. Hey, first of all, I wanted to say in reference to your little story you shared, the personal story about your vindictive nature, I think that what we need to do is rename your show the Diva War, you know, which is short for the Deviant Info Warrior.
I might be. Again, this was before I was hip to all this stuff. This is like a decade ago, folks. Less of me.
I was going to say your little story really gives a new meaning to that old saying, pee in a pot.
All right, quick. We got 90 seconds.
Yeah, today on Glenn Beck's show, he actually interviewed Ron Paul, and I found it really interesting. You know, I agree with what you said about, you know, Beck, he's just a poster boy for the neocons, but mm-hmm. I found it really interesting in talking to Ron Paul and interviewing him. He mentioned about how all the people he talks to that are in the know about the economy and finances, they're saying that with what is happening, and this was interesting, he used the term end game. This is mm-hmm. the end game because they are monetizing the debt now. That means it's over. Well, who have we heard already said that? Alex Jones.
That's
but
right.
See, they won't give him his due, but he's the one. I mean, you know, Alex is the Paul Revere. He's the one that's setting the precedent as far as this movement. Of course, you know, he's not out for his own glory, but I just found it really interesting to hear Beck uses the term that's a title for one of, you know, Alex's own documentaries on this whole situation, Endgame.
No, I hear you. Listen, I'm really here ironic. Because Alex Jones is the tip of the spear, all right? Say what you will about Alex Jones. He's the one that has put this information out in mass over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. You know, he's the guy. And he's done it better than anybody else. And he's woken up more people than anybody else. He's predicted more than any. I was kind of cracking jokes with him a few years ago about this carbon tax deal. I didn't believe it. It's all I report on now. I got 5 stories a day about carbon emissions taxes and where they're going and how they're already setting it up and how Tennessee wants to be, you know, one of these states that's already ready when it comes into play, man. Yo, Alex Jones is the man. I can't give enough props to him. I thank him for this show. Without him, this would not be possible. I want to let people know you can catch the rebroadcast over at theinfowarrior.com and prisonplanet.tv. Say